a slow learner, but whenever I get it down, it'll always be there till I forget it. Take your Bible, if you will, please, to the book of Hebrews in chapter number 3. Hebrews chapter number 3. Or if you find the place and look in verse number 1, we'll stand together. Hebrews in chapter number 3. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all of his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all of his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Now, Father, bless your word to every heart. We do thank you for it and how good it is to be in the house of God. We praise you and thank you, thou God. Beside thee, there's none else. Save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you and be seated. Now, this message given to me in a difficult time of our life, and way back in April of 2018. It's entitled, My House, Your House, and the House of God. When you begin to look into this, you're going to find out that Moses, what a great man of God that Moses was. You remember how that when he was born, that the Pharaoh wanted to have him killed and so forth and on. And then he finally grew up and was the deliverer that God had appointed to bring Israel out of Egyptian bondage. I want to say to you, the Bible says over there in the book of Deuteronomy, do not lose your text, but the Bible says over there in Deuteronomy in chapter number 34 and about verse number 10, for there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, and in all the signs and wonders which the Lord had sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all of his servants and to all his land. And in all the mighty hand, and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of Israel, of all of Israel. I want to say to you that here's a man that God used him, and he used him with the mighty acts and the miracles that he performed through the hands of Moses from the hand of God. And let me say to you, when you begin to look into it, is that it's good to be able to read about passages that talk about these men and their faithfulness unto God, and that they were only in typology, they were pictures of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He was not going to build somebody else's house. He's building his house. And if you're saved this morning, God added you to his house. He added you to the church of the living God. I'm glad I'm not just a spectator on the outside looking in at church. I'm glad that I'm a participator, that I'm on the inside and been placed there by the hand of God, by the touch of God, by the power of God. And let me say to you that when you look into it, that since the day that I got saved, since the day that you got saved, is that every now and again a little something may come along, shake our faith. You know, the average Baptist preacher is afraid to say, man, that shook my faith a little bit. See? And most of the time, maybe they don't know what real faith is. I got to tell you right up front, make no mistake about it, I've been knocked down a time or two, but I ain't been knocked out yet. Amen. See the difference in what we're talking about? Don't think you're abnormal because that all of a sudden that now your faith's been shaken and you're wondering, what in the name of God are you doing? I'll tell you, God knows exactly what he's doing, and he may not let you and I in on it right away. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you that the Bible said, holy brethren, are you one of those this morning? Did you know that the mark of holiness is upon every child of God? Listen, if you're in the house of God, God placed you there, and if God placed you there, you've got the mark of holiness upon your life. Did you know the Bible said that without holiness, no man shall see the Lord? I got to tell you right now, I see people in the den hour that we're living in. They make a profession with their mouth, but their heart's far from God. Their life doesn't change. They go the same places they always went. They cuss the same way they always did. They lie, they cheat, they connive. Some of them commit adultery, fornication, and then come to the house of God and say, I'm delivered to do all these evil things. See? In this lesson that we're living at, that whenever you got saved by the grace of God, he made you a holy brother, a holy sister, if you will. Please. The mark of holiness is upon your life. That doesn't mean that you may not lose your temper and rant and rave and so forth and all. Or you might say something without even losing your temper, and then God smites your heart about it, see. I don't know about you, but I'm not nearly the person of depravity that I was before I got saved. I don't cuss nearly as much as I did before I got saved. And when I do, God smites my heart about it. I want to say to you that if you're a child of God, you're a holy brother, you're a holy sister, and you know the difference between just being religious and made righteous by the blood of the Lamb. In the lesson that we're looking at, you'll find out is that here's a man that's a man of faith. And let me tell you something right now is that without faith, it's impossible to be able to please God whatsoever. That's what a holy brother is. That's what a holy sister in the Lord is. Next of all is, you'll find there's a heavenly calling. Did you notice in our text, he said, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. I tell you, I didn't just all of a sudden decide it'd be a good idea to get in church. There was a drawing. There was a calling that was calling us into the family of God. Remember when God granted you faith and repentance, and you had repentance toward God and faith in the Lord and the Savior Jesus Christ? And let me say to you is that we're just not only listening to what's going on about it, but we are partakers of that holy calling that God is talking about in the passages. You know, you can hear about it. You've all heard about it over and over again. But are you a partaker of it yet? See? As you look into this, you'll find out is that if you don't ever become a partaker of it, you'll never be a person of Christ because you've not received the Lord Jesus Christ. If the Spirit of God draws upon your heart and you receive Christ in the free pardon of sin, you're a partaker of the holy calling of God. And I don't know about you, I'm glad I heard about him, and I'm glad I'm on the inside now with him because he placed me there as a child of God. You know, if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll change your life. I guarantee he'll not just change it for now. He'll change it for all eternity. I'm not in and out and in, this and that. No, I'm in, let me tell you. I've been saved by the grace of God. You've been saved by the grace of God. If so be that you've received him in the free pardon of sin, if so be that you are partaker of that heavenly calling. We are washed by the blood, born into the family of God. And let me tell you right now is that I'm not on the outside looking in. I'm on the inside shouting it out. And make no mistake about it. In this lesson that you're looking at, you'll find the Bible said we ought to consider the high priest. Now, there's only been one that's able to go into the Holy of Holies and do what he's done because he is our high priest. And make no mistake about it, he goes in there, he's offered up by the mercy seat, he's offered his own blood, and he's paid the sin debt for not only you and I, but for all the world that'll repent toward God by faith and trust in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Notice, if you will, please, in Hebrews in chapter 10, don't lose your text, but look in Hebrews 10 and about verse number 12. Now, you know, religion's not going to be able to do anything for you. Religion never could take away sins. It can't right now, and it won't be tomorrow. Every now and again, we find out is that it's not the blood of bulls and goats that can take away sin. But Jesus Christ shed his blood, and in chapter number 10, I want you to look there in the verse in that verse number 12, that if you will, but this man, talking about Jesus Christ. Let's back up to verse 11. Well, back up to verse 10. By the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. In other words, he's not going to have to die again. He said every priest and the daily ministering offering and oftentimes the same sacrifices, which could never take away sins. But this man, talking about Jesus Christ, but this man, after that he had offered one sacrifice for sins, that's his own body, that's his own life, that's him as the Lamb of God offering one sacrifice for sins, forever set down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till all of his enemies be made his footstool, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. I got to tell you right now, if you're a child of God, been washed by the blood, born into the family of God, you've got verse 15, wherefore the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I'll make with them, that after those days, saith the Lord, I'll put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. I got to tell you that when the day that you and I got washed by the blood, it was by the one divine sacrifice that God gave, and that's his only begotten Son. And when God saved us, he wrote his laws, and he wrote his righteousness inside us on the inside. That's the reason why back in our text when we were reading about it is that over there, whenever he said, but Christ is a son over his own house, whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. In other words, it won't fizzle out if what you've got's real. Let me tell you, Jesus bowed his head, gave up the ghost, said it's finished, and paid the sin debt for you and I, and yea, the rest of the world, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let me tell you something. Our profession and our fame is in a person, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's always been that way. It'll always be that way. Now, back in our text, in verse number 2, you'll find the Bible talks about the faithfulness of Christ. The Bible said, for this cause, did you notice that? Unto this end, that's the reason Jesus came to be born and to die. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, these are things that saith the Amen, who is the faithful and the true witness, that's been recorded over in Revelation 3 and about verse number 14. I can tell you what I will this morning is that whatever I may or may not know, here's something I do know. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. Now, if you're here this morning, you've not yet received Christ and trusted Christ, then why haven't you? What's holding you up? Why is it that you would hesitate any longer? You see, when you begin to look into this Bible, you begin to realize that no, is that he is the builder of the house. And Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I got to say to you, the Lord adds to the church such as been called and convicted and been converted by his own sacrifice, by his own life. And let me tell you something. Over there in the book of Ephesians chapter 3 and about verse number 21, the Bible says, unto him be glory in the church. You know, over there in Leviticus, he said the house of God's a gate to heaven. A lot of time people are going to tell you something. They're going to say something about, you know, I don't believe you have to go to church in order to be saved. Well, I got news for you. You need to remember where that's at. It's in Leviticus, and I want to say it's in chapter number 23 or something like that. Maybe it's in chapter number 18, but I'll tell you in a moment where it's at. Maybe it's in chapter number 23 or 28 or whatever it is. And let me say to you that the house of God's a gate to heaven. And the Bible said that whenever you begin to look into it, you begin to realize and recognize is that if a person's not in the house of God, you're not even in the gate. And listen, if you're not in the gate, you're not even in the door. And let me tell you right now is, I guess as we begin to look into it and you begin to realize and recognize is that the house of God certainly is the gate to heaven. Somebody may have to help me find the thing and all that business there. It's over in Leviticus and it's in chapter number 20-something. It may not even be close to that and all of that right there. But anyhow, I want to read the part where it's the house of God's a gate to heaven. And if you're not in God's house, you're not in the gate. And if you're not in the gate, you're going to miss the door. Anybody else got it? Y'all still what looking for? 28:17 sounds exactly what it is. 28? No. And Leviticus what? No, Leviticus is where I'm looking for. The house of God is the gate to heaven. What'd you say, Genesis 28? Well, let me look at that. Maybe it's that. 28:17. Let me go ahead and look at it. And I'll tell you in a moment if that's it. And all that business there, we're talking about when God saves you. You know, the Bible says unto him be glory in the church. And notice, if you will, please. Yeah, that's right. I don't know why I said Leviticus. It's Genesis chapter 28, verse 17. That is correct. Thank you very much. The Bible said, and here's what he said whenever he was on the run for his life. And you'll find that old Jacob, when he lay down in verse 17, he was afraid. And he said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. I want you to look at that. Listen, you tell somebody whenever they say, I don't believe you've got to be able to go to the house of God in order to be saved. Bible said if you're not in the house of God, you're not even in the gate. And if you're not in the gate, you're going to miss the door. And Jesus is the door of heaven. Judas Iscariot kissed the door of heaven, died without God, without hope, and went to hell. In the Bible lesson that you and I are looking at here is that you're going to find out that the true witness, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is that not only will he knock upon your heart's door, bring that heavenly call in, but when he saves you, he'll put you in the house of God. The Lord added unto the church daily such as should be saved. There's something else that I notice is that people say, well, you know, I worship God just as good out there on the lakeside. Not according to the book of Exodus in chapter number 3 and verse number 21. Unto him be glory in the church. I tell you what you do sometime next time you're out on a lakeside crowd or wherever it's at. See how many of them is really worshiping God in spirit and truth. They're not, you see. And I can promise you right now, has there ever been a time you could worship God outside the church? Sure. But you're not going to abandon the church and have any effective worship with God without being in the church. Now, let me tell you right now is that if you worship in the Lord in spirit and truth in the church of the living God, then you'll be able to worship God not only in the church but out of the church as well. In this lesson that we're looking at, it's God-given faith. Did you hear that? And the Bible said that it'll be lasting. Back in our text that we were looking at here this morning is that you'll find that whenever we're in the church of the living God and we've been saved by the grace of God, he gave us everlasting life. And that means it'll last forever. And according to this passage that we've read, he said we'll be firm to the end. That means that what you've got's not going to fizzle out, but it'll be firm all the way to the end. There's a passage in Philippians chapter number 1. It's about verse number 6. And over there in the book of Philippians in chapter number 1 and verse number 6, he says, and I'm confident that he which began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ Jesus. That's just exactly the reason why. It's not you and I that are doing it, but it's he that had begun a good work. And it's the word of faith that he granted to us. Now I want to say in closing here this morning, that sometime or another, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ and the free pardon of sin, you're not going to be exempt from temptations and tragedies that come our way in life. But God's grace has always been, will always be sufficient for you and I. I said all that to say this, though the path be dark, though the path be dim, boy, let me tell you right now, sorrow will dim your eyes. But though the path will be dark and the path will be dim, I'm confident that he clearly knows the way. If you'll just stick closer to him, he'll lead and guide and direct you all the way. One of these days, I started out in pastoring churches, and every now and again I'd have somebody come along and say, preacher, just want you to know, every now and again there's a troublemaker sticks their ugly head up in church. I'll be behind you all the way. Sometimes I look back and they must have been hiding in the dark because I couldn't see them. You see what I'm talking about? There was a man stood on his doorstep. Brother Rocky was present. I think Brother Rocky was present. I forgot about where Genesis was, but I remember Brother Rocky. And the guy told me such a thing and said, let me tell you, there's a lot of evil people in this church that'll do you under and do you in if they can. He just didn't tell me he was going to be one of them. Isn't that something? And I want to tell you, I've seen the path where it got a little dark and my eye got a little dim. But I'm confident and live to be able to testify to you that our Lord and our Savior knows the way. Amen. Just stay close to Him. Hug up real close to Him. And sometimes, you know, you may not be able to see Him as clearly through the tears of your own eyes and broken heart. But I'm confident that He doeth all things well. And I'm confident that He knows exactly what we're going through. And I'm confident that He'll bring us gloriously and victoriously through the other side. I don't know about you. I mean, the country we're in is a mess. I mean, I can't hardly wait to see Chris Christie finally have sense enough to drop out. I mean, ain't nobody wants him. I mean, if you ain't got but 3%, you've been running your mouth as much as he has. The people at the Bluebell place don't even like him. He's eating up all the pastries and all the cookies and ice cream and cake and candy and this and that and running his mouth. Got them big old hog jaws that he's got. And I mean, he's just a hog. And he ain't got but 3% vote. Why is he wanting to run down people that are in the 50 percentile, 40 percent, and he got 3%? I'd be ashamed to stick my head up. I got to say to you, my hope's not built on Donald Trump. We need a leader in the country. And I guarantee you we need somebody. And it looks like right now that he's the favorite among all of it. And do I like him? I like what he can do. And I like the way that he run things the first 4 years that he had. Do I believe that he's the Lord? No, he's going straight to hell. He'll not pass go. He'll not be able to collect $200 when he leaves this world. But he's an American. See, you say that around the average Baptist and they think, you know, I can remember whenever I had preachers mad at me and didn't want to talk to me and wouldn't talk to me whenever they were bragging on George W. Bush. They know, some of them have died and they know I'm right now. See that? I want to tell you something. You better get your eyes on everybody, or get them off everybody and get them on the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And He'll lead and guide and direct you because He doeth all things well. All right? Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, we want to thank You for loving us. These boys and girls that are here, these young men, these young ladies. Show them themselves like You see them. Lord, I pray that You'd let them feel that divine heavenly calling. Maybe one will come forward soon and say, "Preacher, I felt God knocking on my heart. I put it off as long as I'm going to. I'm ready to be a partaker of the heavenly calling of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Lord, we want to say thank You for loving us in Jesus' name. Amen. Shake hands.